Book in the book of 2 Corinthians. You're going to be turning over there. 2 Corinthians, we're going to go to chapter number 2. And this morning, we still have a few cards up here on the communion table. If you did not get a card from Brother Keith's funeral there and you'd like to get one, Miss Sue left those here. And if you could want to take one as kind of a memento, I'm sure that would be a blessing as well. Anybody else have word this morning before we look here and read just a few minutes? Anybody at all? Amen. Yeah, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Sure good to see everybody. Good to see Miss Sue's mom with us this morning. Amen. Amen. I didn't run her off, so that was pretty good. Of course, amen. All right. Amen. Amen. Well, 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. If you want to turn over there, read a few minutes this morning. And if you're nobody else, I do want to say this. I know not everybody was able to make it out yesterday. Some folks had stuff come up, but I do appreciate everybody who was able to make it out yesterday and get some things done. I know there's still some more work to be done and all. It's one of those things where when you do the work, you find a few extra projects along the way. But sure appreciate all the help yesterday. It was just a huge blessing. Amen. Amen. I want you to look in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 this morning. One of these days, we are going to go back to 2 Thessalonians. We're going to finish that up. It'll probably be after Jubilee. So, still got some verses over there I'm meditating on, some verses I've been studying over there, and meditating on a lot of those verses, just chewing on them. And we'll get back over there to them, but need to come here to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 this morning. And as we look at the text, we'll do our best to give you what I believe the Lord would let us give you this morning. Look at verse number, chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians is probably the most biographical of Paul's epistles in the sense of he gives you the idea of the ministry. If you want to see the side of the ministry that's not the glorified side, the side that we normally see in the ministry is this. You see the big name preachers, you see the flyers, and for camp meetings and jubilees. Did you know that I have been on, even since I was a younger fella, I have been on every single revival flyer and jubilee flyer I've ever gone to. Did you know that? I've been on every single one of them. They'll list the main preachers. You know, they'll have Dr. So-and-so, Dr. So-and-so, Dr. So-and-so, and then it'll say this, and others. Yeah, or many preachers called from the floor. That's me. So yeah, I've been on all those, every single one of them. So, but as I look in 2 Corinthians, I get not even the and others side to the ministry. And if you look at chapter 1, you see the afflictions and troubles that Paul went through. You find out that he and his companions despaired so much even of life. They thought they were going to die, take a place they were at in the ministry. And so when you get to that point, it does something to the way you conduct ministry. And as you read through 2 Corinthians, it is a very eye-opening, very heart-wrenching book in many ways because it tempers your heart in a way that it needs to be. But I want to look in chapter number 2. He's already talked about how that they don't have dominion over any church's faith. In chapter 1, verse 24, they're helpers of their joy. For by faith you stand. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning, how that salvation has always been by faith. It's never been any other way. And Paul confirms that, by faith you stand. I want you to look in chapter 2 and verse number 1. Paul says this, but I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. Now, if you remember 1 Corinthians, there's a lot going on in the church. There's a young man who's had relations apparently with his stepmother, and just that issue was addressed in 1 Corinthians 5. There were cliques, there were divisions, all kinds of things going on, and it was a heavy issue for Paul. And he said, I'm not going to come to you again in heaviness. Verse 2, for if I make you sorry, who is he that maketh me glad but the same which is made sorry by me? I hope you kind of get what it's saying. He says, if I make you sorry, the same people I make sorry are the ones who make me glad. There's a relationship between Paul and the Corinthian church here that he's wanting to bring out. And I wrote this same unto you, lest when I come I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. But if any have caused me grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. So he's talking about writing here. They've had to discipline. He told the church that they are to deliver that young man who was having a relationship with his father's wife to set him out of the church. Deliver him unto Satan. You know, discipline him, set him outside of the church. But here's the problem. They set him outside of the church, but there wasn't a whole lot of folks willing to let him back in. It's one thing to cut a cancer out of a church, but whenever the cancer is cut out and it begins to show that it's not really a cancer, begins to show that it's not an issue, not a problem, and that young man in this case repented, they were to bring that young man and put him back into the fellowship of the church. You know, a lot of times we Baptists, we're real good. We have our standards. You know, we got our dress standards right. We've got our Bible right. You know, the law, the men have short hair. Amen. The women have the long hair. And we all know who we are and all that other stuff. But when it comes to forgiveness in the church, a lot of times we just fall way far short. I don't expect there to be a lot of amens this morning. And probably don't need to be. But if somebody goes outside of the church, they sin, and they come back in and say, look, I'm sorry, I did wrong. What should the church do? The church needs to take those people back in. Needs to restore them to church fellowship and just go on. Don't dig up the past. Don't get in a group and whisper, do you remember when he did this? Do you remember when she did that? Well, tell you what, why don't we go and talk about what you did? Put that up on the wall. Let everybody see that. And then after you're done with that, then we're going to let you talk about everybody else's issues. A lot of times we have double standard. I said this at Brother Keith's funeral the other day, and it bears saying again. You know, Brother Keith, we could say this about anybody, was a man who had faults, just like any of us have faults. And Miss Sue, I'm not trying to open up and try to break anything, but I said this. I said, you know, let's not hold ourselves to one standard and judge Brother Keith by a different standard. Because that's the way a lot of us seem to do. We seem to hold people to a different standard, but we hold ourselves to a different standard because we excuse things in our own lives we wouldn't excuse in nobody else's. Apparently that's the Baptist way of doing things. Well, that may be the Baptist way of doing things, but it ain't the Bible way of doing things. You got to love each other. Amen. Amen. Had a preacher one time, he said this. His dad told him, he got saved when he was a young boy. And his dad told him, he said, son, he said, I'm not trying to make excuses for you. He says, but you're going to get out in the world, you're going to go to college. He said, you might even get out and party, you might even drink a little beer. He said, but I want you to know that God is ready to forgive you and restore you to fellowship when you want to come back. He wasn't excusing his son, he was just telling him, I'm not going to cut things off. I'm going to make a way for you to come back when you want to come back. Amen. Amen. Verse 6, sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many, speaking of the church discipline. So the contrary wise, you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan, look at verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we're not ignorant of his devices. And he speaks a little bit more about the church and all that goes on there. But I want us to look at verse number 11 this morning. I want us not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'd help us this morning. Lord, you know this is just as much for me as anybody else, Lord, and I pray that you'd help us as a church. Lord, that you would just work in our hearts, and I pray that you'd be glorified in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul says in verse 11, I want you to look at verse 11. If you haven't underlined that one in your Bible, you don't have it highlighted, I'm not telling you to highlight in your Bible if you don't highlight or mark it if you don't mark in it. This is one I've had for a while. I've not marked in this one as much as one of my older ones. But this book here, verse 11, chapter 2, 2 Corinthians, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. To get advantage over the lives of individual Christians, if Satan can do that, if he can interfere in your life individually, watch this, he interferes in the life of the church. Amen. What is the purpose of, and here's what we're going to do, just give you an outline this morning so you won't have to even worry about copying it down. We're going to look at the purpose of his devices, what the devices are, exactly what that means, the results of the devices if we don't deal with them, and then the remedy for that. So that's what we're going to look at this morning. So I hope and pray the Lord will help us today. But I want you to listen just for a second here. What's the purpose of Satan's devices? It's to get an advantage over your life, to make you a weak and impotent Christian. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to make you weak and powerless. Now, there are ways you can be powerless just the same. Don't read your Bible. Don't pray. Don't fellowship with God. Don't fellowship with God's people. That will make you weak and powerless. And if you are powerless in your own life, I will say this, that a powerless church can do nothing great for the cause of Christ. If we don't have the power of God in our church, individual lives, we can't do anything great for the cause of Christ. Now, there are two times when Satan tries to take advantage of people. You ready? Two times. Number one, when people are weak. Believers get weary, they get tired. It's just like when the herd animals move across the African Serengeti. They travel on a migration. They get tired. The old ones get tired, the young ones get tired, they're sick. Those are the ones who are preyed upon. So I want to say, number one, Satan will attempt to put some of his devices into action when people are tired, when people are weary, when some folks carry more load than they should, sometimes when folks carry more load than they personally think they should. They get weary. And Satan will attack when people get weary. Some of y'all having maybe some financial issues. Some of y'all having family issues. Some folks have issues with friends and things like that. Watch out in those weak times, those weary times, Satan will attack. So number one, the purpose of Satan's devices is to weaken us, and he does it in two times. Number one, he does it in weak times when people are weak and weary. Number two, and this is going to come as a shock to some of you, he'll do it not only in the weak times, but he'll do it in the high and strong times. When people are shouting, when people are rejoicing, when the Spirit of God is working, when God is working in the church, the Spirit of God is high, Satan will come in and do his best to destroy the unity and the peace in a church. Preacher, do I need to watch out for that? I'm going to quote you a verse a little later. But 1 Peter 5:8 says this, "Be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about," doing what? "Seeking whom," what does your Bible say? "Whom may devour." Now you'll notice, doesn't say anything about doctor's degrees. Doesn't say anything about ordination papers. Doesn't say anything in there about age. "Seeking whom he may devour." Sometimes he uses the people in the pew. Sometimes he uses the preacher. Hey man, go ahead and say amen. You might as well say amen. You know what's right. High times, shouting times, the devil's going to come in. Why does he do that? Maybe, you know, I really shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. But whenever I would like wrestle around with the boys, and even there have been a few times as an adult, I've kind of gotten in, not a tussle with people, you just kind of goofing around. I mean, there are two things I can, you know, a couple things you can do. If you mash a man in the nose, I don't know why I'm telling you this, the preacher, man can't see, he can't do nothing to you. Okay? But I figured out that sometimes the best way to attack somebody is not just right up in the front and mash somebody in the nose. I figured this out, if a man can't stand, it's kind of hard for him to swing at you. I'm a big fan of knocking people's feet out from in under them. You might not think I can do that, but you might be surprised. Amen. Amen. It doesn't take a lot of you know, effort to knock a man, whether you foot sweep him or whether you cave in his knee on the side. It don't take a whole lot of pressure to do that. Man can't stand, he can't swing at you. Listen to me, if a man or a woman can't stand, they are very weak when it comes to fighting against the devil's devices. And you've heard it said before, there's no taller standing Christian than when he stands on his knees. The purpose of the devil is to knock us out of commission. And he'll do it, watch this, in the weak times, he'll do it in the high times. I reckon that covers all of them. Because if you're in a weak time and you're going to a high time, they somewhere along that continuum where he's going to try to sneak in. That's why Peter says, "Be sober, be vigilant," because the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I'm just going to say it in East Tennessee, you ain't got no idea when he's going to try to get you. So that's his purpose. That's his purpose. What are the devices? So let me just go ahead and tell you this. What is the device? The old writers in the days gone by would use the word device. They would use the word design. In our modern parlance, we'd use the word scheme. Because a scheme sounds a lot different than a plan. When you come to church, we have a plan to clean the church. We have a plan to put stuff in the lot, a plan to clean out the kitchen. If y'all came in here and you heard somebody say, "We have a scheme to clean the kitchen," everybody's going to the house. I'm going to the house. Y'all stay here if you want to. I'm going to the house. Any scheming going on, I'm getting out of here. Amen, because I know how those things go. Amen. My birthday's November the 28th. Brother John, in Jesus' name, if you pull a pie out, brother, I will show you that I put people on the ground by knocking their feet out from under. I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm just telling you. All right. You got a plan B? That's all right. That's all right. When we both get to heaven after we kill each other, we'll just ask the Lord to forgive us. Amen. But, you know, we're just going to count on grace to forgive us when we get there, and the Lord just shake his head. Boys, it was just have fun. All right. Now, here's something I want you to see. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 11. I want you to look with me at the text. "Lest Satan should get an advantage over us," singular, "for we are not ignorant of his devices," plural. What's going to work for Brother John? What's going to work for Brother Bobby? What's going to work for Brother John? What's going to work for Brother Artie? May not work for me. But he has devices. He has schemes. You've heard it said before, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Show me that in the Bible. It's not in there. That's Jolly Olstein. Amen. Well, I will say this, the devil hates you and has a horrible plan for your life. What are the devices, plural, that he uses? What are these malintended plans? I've got apparently so many words in here. Spellcheck underlines every one of these things in red on my iPad because I make up words as I go. I didn't know malintended was not a word. Well, it is now. A scheme is a malintended and ill-intended plan, not for the betterment of somebody, but for the worse. What are some of the devices that Satan has used on churches and people in the past? Well, let's just go ahead and look at what happened in Corinth here. Already, Paul has said in verse number 7, so the contrary wise, you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him. So in other words, these folks had unforgiveness. Apparently unforgiveness is not a word. Well, it is now. Bitterness of spirit. In the Corinthian church, it'd be the same in any church. When somebody sins, whether it's on an individual level or whether it's on a church level, if the church or an individual refuses to forgive, that is one of the things that the devil can use to harbor ill will and to bring a division into the church. Amen. How many of you have been in, thank God, we have not had a single one since I've been here like that. We've had business meetings. We have not had one of those business meetings. I was in a business meeting one time. A woman got up and started screaming and shouting at me. She didn't like it. Didn't like me. Didn't even recognize me, recognized the fellow next to me and said, I got something I got to say. And she started screaming and hollering. I still don't know what happened. I got down on my knees, opened up the Bible and said, here, if I'm wrong, show me. Screaming, stomping out the church. That was one business meeting. Another business meeting, we had folks getting mad. People just get up and walk out because they didn't vote and didn't go the way they went. I mean, yeah, Baptists are stinkers sometimes. Maybe it's an East Tennessee thing, Miss Becky. I don't know what that is. Maybe it is. We had a business meeting one time. Somebody didn't like it. One of the men in the church didn't like it because somebody had done some work in the bathroom downstairs that he didn't approve of. And I'm thinking, Lord help, if somebody changes a light bulb, paints a faceplate, praise God, let them do it. I make a motion that we add new toilet paper to the roll whenever the toilet paper rolls go out and there's only cardboard there. In Jesus' name, just do it for the glory of God and go on. I've been in those business meetings before. Thank God we've not had a single one here. Men, thank y'all so much. Ladies, thank y'all so much. We've not had one like that. Praise the Lord for that. But if we get to where we have bitterness of spirit, we withhold aught against our brother or sister in our heart, that's going to be a scheme, a device that could be harbored and could cause Satan to get an advantage of us. Let me give you another one. Here's another one, jealousy. Jealousy. Some people are jealous of other people. Oh, it's huge, brother. And here's the thing, it touches everything. It touches everything. I've seen it amongst preachers in churches. I've seen it amongst musicians in churches. I've seen it among wives with other wives in the church, whether it's deacons, wives, preachers. I've seen it. And y'all been around a long time. I mean, there's a lot of gray hair in this building. Y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. You've seen jealousy. You've seen it. Now, we ought to covet earnestly the best gifts and be jealous over our folks with a godly jealousy. Nothing wrong with that. Maybe to use the term, maybe envy would be a better term to use in this particular situation. Some people are you know, upset because somebody gets to play the piano, play the guitar, play the fiddle. If anybody, yeah, I guarantee you, I'd let somebody else play the fiddle a whole lot gooder than I can, because I'd sit on the side. Amen. Some people are jealous over stuff like that. Some people are jealous because there's only one, you only have one person back there running the sound. Brother Cole, would you like to have a Sunday off and sit out here and not worry about the sound and let somebody else put all that stuff up on Facebook? Now, he ain't shaking his head yes or no, but I know that there would be nice to, you know, have somebody to help out. Sometimes folks get jealous of other people because of maybe they've had a good turn in their finances. The finances increased and, man, they're doing better, and there's a little bit of envy there. The problem is, if he can get us envious at one another over something, whatever it may be, he can cause a division and a strife. And there's so many things I could say right there, but I don't feel at liberty to start naming certain things. But I'm just telling you that if you and I aren't careful, we get envious at each other, that we could get into big trouble. Here's another one, Phariseeism, where some folks in the church look down at their nose at other people in the church because they don't meet the right standard. Well, what is the right standard? Your standard, my standard, the Pharisee standard? That's what they're going to say. Well, my standard is the best. I have the highest standards in all of the church. Well, if you don't condescend to wash somebody's feet every once in a while, nobody cares how high your standards are. No one cares how much you know until they know how much you care. Sometimes neglect can come in there as well. Well, nobody's called me. Nobody's visited me. Nobody's helped me. I'm sure many of us in here have had that little pity party. Nobody's helped me. Nobody's done this. Nobody's called me. Nobody helped. I can get real mad at some folks. Some of my best friends in the world, people that I knew growing up with, when my mother passed away, I never heard hide nor hair from them. Oh, well, they checked like on Facebook. Well, ain't the same thing. I'm going to get mad and I'm going to hold a grudge against you. That'll make me feel better. Because you know bitterness and that grudge, that's that poison that you drink hoping somebody else gets sick and dies. That's not biblical. I think it's Shakespeare, but boy, it'll work, don't it? Amen. Here's some other things that'll come in. Just like what happened in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul said this. Said it's been declared unto me by those who are of the house of Chloe that there are divisions among you. If we have strife and division in the church, that was the very first thing that Paul addressed. If we have strife and division in the church, that's a way Satan gets an advantage over us. This is not a perfect church. The church doesn't have a perfect pastor. Ain't none of us perfect. Amen. I'm the biggest lummox, the biggest baby in the whole bunch. Go ahead and say amen. It's fine. You can say amen. My wife should have said amen. She missed a golden opportunity. Kids, y'all missed a golden opportunity. Now, she's going to whoop you if you elbow her in the ribs again like that. Amen. Amen. There won't be no division in the church. That'll be a discipline in the church. Amen. But not the kind where y'all, the whole church, to come together. That's where we separate one from the realm, and then everybody prays. I guarantee if any one of these kids yells, "Pray for me," as dad or mom's dragging them outside to whoop them, we're going to go ahead and dismiss in prayer, and we're going to go home, because I wouldn't be able to preach after that. It'd be a Miss Barb laugh on, and I just wouldn't be able to do nothing. But I'm going to tell you, whenever strife and division come, whether it's individual between two people, whether it's between two ladies, or in a group of ladies, whether it's between two or three groups in the church, I'll just go ahead and say it. There are some folks who seem to do a lot more physically in the church. And a lot of times, those folks who do more in the church might get jealous, envious, and cause strife and division because you've got hardness in your heart toward folks who didn't help out. That never happened to me, preacher. Well, it's happened to me before. Amen. Amen. We got to be careful that we don't have division. Unity is not the most important thing in the church, but it's right close to the top. Holiness, the power of God, all those things. And along with that strife and divisions, I'll just go and say this, a grudge. I mean, that sounds like that ought to be a something out of Dr. Seuss on the Grinch. I don't know why in the world he didn't call things grudges, but he could have. Instead of the Grinch, could have called him the grudge. And I like the judge a whole lot better than I do a grudge. Amen. And if you don't know which judge I'm talking about, well, we could have a little discussion on that later on after church. But you ever harbored ill feelings at somebody? Hey, has the devil ever told you that somebody else was harboring ill feelings against you? You know I'm telling you right. We can't harbor ill feelings toward each other. Paul said this, you know, who you forgave, he said, I forgive also. And for your sakes, I just forgave it in the person of Christ. Jesus, I know that church has already gone ahead and forgiven them. And I know I'm not there to partake in it, so just like you'd forgive them, it's fine with me. Can't hold grudges. Those are some of the schemes of the devil. Here's another one. Insulting or hateful words. You ever had anybody say anything to you that they shouldn't have said? Are you guilty of saying things you shouldn't have said? Sometimes there's things that need to be said. I'm going to tell you, the way that you say them makes all difference in the world. Amen. Amen. One of the great things in the world is knowing when to say something and when not to say something. There's time to talk, but there's time not to talk. That's one of Satan's devices. Satan's devices. He brings those in, and he tries to get an advantage of us. Some of his other schemes, I'm going to give you this last one, is this. His devices, one of his schemes is this, appearances. Appearances. Now, I'm not talking about an apparition or a vision. I'm talking about an appearance. What do you mean by appearance? The way things appear. Well, they aren't working. I've already addressed that. They aren't working. They ain't doing anything. I'm going to tell you, there's some folks they need to do something. They ought to. Hey, man, that's right. Y'all do something. But be careful about that because there may be more behind the scenes than you realize. Amen. Well, they don't care. It's obvious they don't care. Well, maybe it's obvious they don't care to me, but maybe something's going on that I don't know about. Well, they're not listening. They're not listening. 9 times out of 10, when somebody's got their eyes closed in the church, you can go and bank on, a lot of times they're not listening. They're trying to stay awake. They're fighting it. I've been there before. I get it. Well, they're not listening. They're just doing their own thing. You know, a lot of times when people, Charity's age and Alexis's age, Dylan's age. Of course, Dylan's a little older. But when they are, they've got a pad of paper and they're writing stuff down, you'd be amazed how much they would be able to recall if you were asking some questions. Amen. Well, they aren't listening because of the way that they're acting. Well, sometimes kids just need to have a knot jerked in their tail. Amen, Facebook. That's right. That's right. We don't talk to Dr. Spock. We talk to Solomon. Amen. Oh, yes. You'll figure that one out later. Sometimes kids just need to be jacked up. Amen. Amen. I remember Mr. Gladden, the math teacher down the door, he was talking to some of his kids, and he said, look, he said, I got a 1,200-pound bull sitting out back in my field. He said, I can make him go anywhere I want him to go. Don't think you're going to come in here and not do what I tell you to do. I thought, look out. Look out. Man, son. Amen. But there are some folks, they may not act like they're listening, but some folks do. Well, they're not wanting to grow. Well, every one of those things is a device of Satan. I'm not saying some of these things are not, there may be legitimate things behind them. We don't always see things the same way. But I want us to be aware that what the devil tries to do, he tries to take those things I've just talked about. He throws out seeds in the church, among the church. When I talk about the church, I'm not talking about the building, I'm talking about the people, and tries to sow those things to where you and I are not going to get along with each other. Folks, listen, let's not be a bunch of folks who walk around oblivious to what's going on. Let's not be ignorant of his devices. Let's not be ignorant. Parents especially, you see things going on in your children, don't let them just slide by. Let's not be ignorant of his devices. So what happens? Oh, those are the schemes. What happens if the results are unchecked? Well, number one, we get hard feelings toward each other. And this is all common sense. Hard feeling toward each other, you can call it ill will, whatever. People have hard feelings toward each other. And then it's the open secret in the church that brother so-and-so and brother so-and-so aren't getting along, or sister so-and-so and sister so-and-so aren't getting along. I remember one time Ed Ballou talked about he was preaching a revival, and it was in that one revival meeting that one person from the back came up and hugged somebody in the front, and the two women who had been at odds with each other for years, over, if I'm not mistaken, if I remember the story right, over what happened in somebody's flowers, in their flower bed, had hindered that church for years, and they got it right during the revival meeting. Something so silly. Something so silly. You don't have to wait on revival meeting. It causes division. That's one of the things it causes. We've already mentioned that. I'm not going to belabor that point. I'm almost finished. I really am. But let me say this. Number two, the result of people giving in to Satan's devices, not being spiritually situationally aware, okay, not only can bring division, but it can cause despair. I don't want somebody to walk out the door of the church building and say this, that those people in that church were unforgiving. I remember the church that my wife grew up in. I hadn't been there more than a couple of years. We had been there for a little while. I came here, we were married or not married, to be honest with you, couldn't tell you. One of the young girls in the church, she had gone out, she had messed around, and she was with child. She got up in the front of the church and said she apologized to the church for what she had done, and one of the men in the church went over and hugged her neck and said, "We're going to forgive you." That set the tone for me to realize that there needs to be forgiveness in the church. Amen. Amen. Let's not call somebody to despair. Don't hold it over their head. There's no such thing as spiritual blackmail, for crying out loud. Let's not do that. Help us, Jesus. And of course, the result You got that hard feeling, you got division, despair. Then basically come right down to where the church is powerless, and you know, people come in, then they leave, they go back out, people come in to visit, and nobody sticks around. Why is that? They're just kind of an unfriendly church. God help us not to be that way. What's the remedy? Let me just give you this. Number one, let's just not be ignorant. Be aware that Satan is actively trying to get in Nelson Skinner's life. And look, he's just as active in your life trying to get you as he is David. I'm sure there is at least a 50-year gap in there. I'm just throwing out round numbers, didn't have time to do the math. Amen. Amen. He's actively trying to get Miss Becky. Amen. Brother Eric, Miss Sierra, y'all been in here for almost 2 years. He's actively trying to get y'all. And he'll cause anything he can to try to get y'all knocked out. Amen. Some young folks in here, you want to serve the Lord and your parents may not, well, you're fighting a battle. Just be aware of that. Just don't be ignorant of Satan's devices. Don't be ignorant of his devices. Don't be ignorant. Be vigilant. Be sober. Think rightly. Be of a sound mind. Be vigilant because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And be ready to address the situation causing the problem so that the devil doesn't, watch this, sneak in. The devil doesn't sneak in. You know, I remember reading a story one time about how that, and you can't really put all of the history to one particular thing, but they say that part of the reason that Napoleon suffered crushing defeats toward the end of the time when he was out, it all boiled down to chemistry. As he was fighting in the winter, a lot of times the way that some of the metal that was holding on, some of his equipment, even some of the clothes, the buttons that were on the clothes of the soldiers, whenever he was going into Russia, a lot of the soldiers had on heavy wool clothing, but that was not able to be buttoned and all that because of the tin and all that was in the buttons was not the right amount. And because of that, because of some of that, you had where men froze to death, stuff was unable to be transported, all those things came down, and people pinpoint a few things. You know, being the chemist, I'm thinking, that's wild. You'd boil it down to one thing. Doesn't matter how the devil sneaks in. Doesn't matter how Napoleon lost. It's just that was one of the causes that happened. And watch this. If he can make this side weak and this person weak, and it doesn't matter. We don't have to have, you know, Dave and Ashley already been newlyweds less than a couple of weeks and already don't be duking it out. Just do not duke it out. I'll give you Michael and Sarah's spot. Don't do that. Amen. Amen. But if we can get me and Brother Artie to be cross with each other, and to get Miss Lily and Miss Sharon just to throw something, get y'all cross with each other, that's good, but it's even better if I can get Brother Jerry and Miss Judy cross with Brother Michael and Miss Sarah, and then Dixie cross with Hannah and Savannah, and then get Cole cross with Eric just because y'all are same age, whatever. You know. And don't worry, I mean, I didn't name everybody, but I could have named everybody, just so don't get cross with me because I didn't name you for being cross. Okay? But if he can get so many things crossed with each other, that creates confusion. Folks, let's not be ignorant of his devices. Sometimes he uses people, sometimes he uses the preacher. I've said stupid stuff. I got crow I've got to eat. Amen. I'd rather eat it when it's warm than eat it when it's cold. It don't taste good either way, but it's a whole lot better going down if it's warm. Amen. Listen to me. We can't be ignorant of Satan's devices. Because what he'll do, he'll come in, cause division, and we don't have a church. We've got a social club where we meet on Sunday mornings. We dress up, we look the part. Ain't nothing going to happen in here. God ain't going to move on nobody's heart. God ain't going to convict nobody. God ain't going to call nobody. God is not going to cause anybody to move closer. God ain't going to do none of that. Amen. That's right. So we've got to don't be ignorant, be vigilant, be ready to address the situation. And just remember that charity, love, covers the multitude of sins. I heard a preacher down in Tennessee say this. There's no reason. He was talking about husband and wife. He said this. There's no reason two saved people can't work out problems in their marriage. Look at me. I say amen. Well, preacher, the reason folks don't get them worked out is because people are hard-hearted. If they're saved. Now, there are some folks, I don't know if they're saved or not. Talk to me. Hey, man. Go ahead and say amen, friend. That's right. But there's no reason that two believing Christians can't work things out. Amen. No reason they can't. If they can't work out, watch me, listen. There's hard-heartedness and there's pride. Amen. Pride was the first sin that caused Satan to rebel against God, if you will. And that wasn't the sin that brought death into the world. That was Adam's sin. That's different on an angelic level, if you will, not on a human level. That's why there's no gap between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. One of my preacher friends, I think it might have been Brother Ellis, the ones who played at the tent meeting last year. He said, there is a gap between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2 in my Bible. He said, I got out my measuring tape and it's about a 1/16 of an inch. I said, I like that, brother. Amen. That's good. Amen. Amen. Well, folks, let's love each other. Let's not be ignorant of Satan's devices. Amen. Amen. All right. Here's what we're going to do. Miss Judy, I'm going to let you just come play a verse. We'll just take time to meditate. I'm tempted just to go ahead and dismiss, but we're just going to meditate for a minute. And let the Lord help us. Let me read you this. I meant to read you this quote I got out of a book there yesterday evening. Someone once made the comment to John Wesley, I never forgive. You know, the old Methodist preacher? John Wesley said to John Wesley, I never forgive. Here's what John Wesley replied. Then, sir, I hope that you never sin. Amen. He said, I never forgive. Well, don't sin then. Price is too high. Let's all stand. Let Miss Judy play. We'll just let her play one verse. If you want to come pray, you're welcome to.